Less than a week to go in the election, and President Trump is holding two rallies in Arizona today. Joe Biden is in his home state of Delaware, where this afternoon he delivered remarks about the coronavirus.
And deaths and infections have hit record levels in the key state of Wisconsin yesterday, where Trump at a rally predicted a giant red wave of support building. An ABC Washington Post poll out today puts Biden 17 points ahead of the president in Wisconsin, but other polls have shown the race much closer. And to break down all of this, we have with us political strategist Matt Makowiak, who's a Republican. Welcome. And Jamal Hey. Simmons, who is a Democrat. Hi, Jamal.
Hey, good to join you guys. Hi, Matt.
Yeah, let's start with you.
Hey, Jamal.
Let's start with you, Matt. Yesterday, President Trump held his second campaign rally in Wisconsin, and he downplayed the coronavirus. Let's listen.
Normal life will fully resume. That's all we want is normal life 7 months ago, right? We had the greatest economy in the history of our country. Everybody was doing well. Best numbers we've ever had. And next year will be the greatest economic year in the history of our country.
Matt, the president has been making his case in the upper Midwest, part of the blue wall that he toppled in 2016. How confident are you of a repeat in 2016? A repeat of 2016.
Yeah, look, there's tremendous debate about this right now. Is there a hidden Trump voter? Is Trump's ground game going to make up the deficit? Does the enthusiasm advantage that Trump has that we've seen in the polling, does that make a huge difference? Will Trump's expected overperformance with black voters and Hispanic voters, even if it's just a couple points, will that make a difference? Look, Biden's ahead. He's been ahead. I do believe Trump's closing. This election's going to come down to five or six states. And I think the most direct path for the president at this point is to hold North Carolina, Georgia, Florida, and Arizona and win Pennsylvania. And if he doesn't win Pennsylvania, he could win Michigan. I don't think Wisconsin will probably go in Trump's column. I think releasing a poll that says he's down 17 points is laughable. It's ridiculous.
Oh,
president
really?
Wouldn't have been there yesterday if he was in that kind of range. I talked to a very senior person in Wisconsin yesterday who told me that Trump was down 2. Now, even if that's a little rosy, if it's 5 points, releasing a poll like the Washington Post and ABC News did that showed him down 17, it is something that everyone involved with that ought to be fired, because there's simply no scientific or data-driven basis to a poll that says that he's down 17 points in a battleground state.
Well, Jamal, I want to get you in here. I mean, of course, there's always been questions about polling, but how does the blue wall look to you in 2020 and what you hear Matt saying here?
I don't think there's a blue wall higher than my waist anywhere in the country. we can all see over these blue walls. The Democrats are in a better position than they were in 2016. It's just obvious from the calendar. Vice President Biden is going into territory that was really Trump territory. There's really no state that Hillary Clinton won that Donald Trump looks like he has a chance at taking. But Biden is in Arizona. The Biden-Harris campaign are in Arizona and Texas and Georgia and, they're in North Carolina. They're on a lot of ground that was previously held by the president. So just if you look at the calendar, look at how the number of events they're doing and where they're spending money, what you see is the Biden campaign is on the offense. The Trump campaign is playing defense. Mm-hmm. And that's a good place to be.
Well, to that point, Joe Biden gave a speech in Warm Springs, Georgia yesterday. That's a state that hasn't voted for a Democrat for president since 1992. And Biden invoked President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was treated for polio in Warm Springs.
The Bible tells us there's a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to heal. This is that time. God and history have called us to this moment and to this mission.
People are calling this Joe Biden's closing message. Jamal, what do you think? And then we'll go to Matt, because I want to know what both of you think. Which candidate is giving a stronger message here in the home stretch?
Well, one thing that happens in campaigns is that the candidates start going after different populations of voters. And so it may seem like they're talking past each other, because they are. They're talking to different Americans. And one thing about this speech that strikes out to me is I think that Vice President Biden is trying to put the nail in on for seniors. The Democrats are now starting to lead with seniors for the first time in our recent memory. And if Joe Biden, using FDR as the backdrop, can get seniors to close down and the Trump campaign and focus on him, there's almost no way Donald Trump can be reelected.
Matt, what do you think when you hear Joe Biden's message there in Georgia, invoking the Bible, talking about a time to heal? What do you think about the closing message that he's making and how it compares to your candidate?
Yeah, I mean, I think from Biden's perspective, it's a smart message. I think in his core, he does want to unify the country. Whether the country's able to be unified after a divisive election, I think, is a totally separate question. But I think Biden, if left to his own devices, would probably try to work in a bipartisan way. Now, whether his administration and the left wing of the country and the Democratic Party would allow that, I don't know. I think that's a much bigger question. But look, I think Trump's closing message is that he's the right person to help rebuild the American economy. And given where we were before the virus came over from China and ravaged our country, I think he has a strong argument to make on that. Look, Trump's running on issues. He's running on the Supreme Court. He's running on safety in our cities. He's running on the economy. And he's running on Operation Warp Speed and getting the vaccine approved in the first or second quarter of next year and out to people. Biden's running on issues, too, but he's running a little bit more on other issues, like on other aspects of this, you know, the divisiveness, unifying the country. Voters vote on issues, generally. I mean, the issues decide races and positioning, and all those things matter. They're both going to make their closing argument. We'll see how it affects things. I do, again, think Trump has been closing in the last 10 days. The very successful second debate, I thought he did really well. He's doing 5 rallies a day now, getting tens of thousands of people to show up, all the data they're collecting, all the enthusiasm. I think it matters. I think Trump has momentum right now, and he's closing fast.
Well, Matt, I mean, that's really interesting that you say that the president is running on issues, because clearly that's not what we've been seeing over the last few weeks. And at the last debate, especially, we did not see the president actually talking about issues and the way that he will unify the country, the way that he will stop the coronavirus. But I want to ask you specifically about Texas. I mean, we're seeing record voting in Texas. A real clear politics polling average gives Trump a 2.6% edge there. But yesterday we learned that up to 1,000 National Guard members could be deployed to cities across the state ahead of Election Day on Tuesday because there's just fear of violence. Why do you think Texas is so close when it has been traditionally a Republican held state?
Well, I think the public polling is not good. It's not done well. It's done cheaply. The way that it's weighted to census data, I think, makes it inaccurate. And I think they oversample Democrats. And that's all those points have been true as it relates to Texas polling. Look, if Texas were truly a battleground state, Biden would be treating it like it's a battleground state. He hasn't been here. They haven't invested here. They're doing, you know, a half day of stops on Friday with Kamala Harris. Really is just something to kind of get Beto O'Rourke and a couple Texas Democrats to stop complaining. It's not a real effort to flip a state.
Oh, that's interesting. Jamal, I want to bring you in. What is your thoughts about Texas when you see that these really close margins and this record turnout for folks voting?
Texas is elusive, and I'd love to say I think that it was higher on the list, but you know, I have to live by the sword that I started wielding in the beginning of our conversation, which is look at the calendar. And I think they're focused. The Biden campaign is focused on Texas. It also helps the Senate race. I think they've got more vote-rich targets in places like Georgia. And lastly, I'll just say this. You know, I've been going back and looking at a little history, and in 1968, you know, Trump likes to kind of position himself as Nixon in that campaign, Law and Order. It may actually be that Trump is LBJ. And when Americans fell out of favor with LBJ's judgment that he could fix Vietnam, there was really nothing else that he could do. It ended up, you know, obviously not even running for re-election. I think people have lost trust in Donald Trump's judgment that he can fix COVID, and there's no way he can get out of that box.
Jamal, you say look at the calendar. So let's do that, because a week from today, we may come to work and not know whether or not there's a new president or a different president. We don't know. We might not know who won. So what would you advise your party to do if we still don't know who the winner is a week from now?
So I was Al Gore's spokesman in West Palm Beach during the recount back in 2000, so I feel this very deeply in my bones. Yeah. The one thing the party cannot do is to leave it up to the lawyers. There's going to be a legal process. You're going to have cases to manage. But the thing that the W. Bush forces did very well is they fought on political ground and made the case that this was George Bush's presidency that Gore was trying to take away from him. The Democrats this year have got to fight in every way possible, in politics, in media, putting voters on the streets as well as in the courtroom. This cannot be left up to Donald Trump, who is a media manipulator, par none.
What's your message, Matt?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty concerned about the next, you know, 4 to 6 weeks for the country. I think we may see 1968-style protests and riots around the country. I think there's a scenario where Trump may have won on election night, but then either legitimately or perhaps illegitimately loses it over the next 2 to 3 weeks as mail ballots come in, as courts rule. All the states have different laws. And I think there's a
real
risk.
Do you trust him not to add fire to that fuel, though, Matt?
Well, what I would say is I think there's a real risk that half the country is going to view the result as illegitimate, whether it's legitimate or not. And I really am concerned about that. I believe he will accept the results of the election once the legal process is complete. And I think that Biden will do the same. But I think we're going to be in for some uncertainty for a few weeks. I don't know that this is going to be settled unless it's a landslide one direction or the other.
We'll find out soon. Here and now, political strategists, Republican Matt Mikowiak, Democrat Jamal Simmons. Thanks to you both. Appreciate it.